I'm sure I'm not the only one that comes up here.
With that kind of imposter syndrome feeling, I bet if, you know, I was to ask those of you that do from time to time come up here, you know what I'm talking about. So I was really encouraged this morning because I was starting to, well, I'd been having it, and as it gets closer, it increases. And I switched on the radio, and on Radio 4, the service, I think it was from somewhere in Cambridge, I missed the beginning, but it was on a very similar story to what we're going to look at, which is the fingerprint of God in nature. And it just kind of confirmed that actually, I know this is important. I know it's really important to God, but I think for a long time I didn't, and I don't know whether we all do or not. You know, hopefully we do. But all the stories that were coming out from young people, older people, were all to do with the importance of creation care and how it's not an add-on. It's not, oh, yes, you know, we have to do that bit. You know, we put our things in a certain bin. It's so much bigger than that. And it just helped me to think, yeah, I think it's all right. I think it's right, actually, that we look at this stuff. And so we're going to. But before we do, I just wanted to give a little bit of my story in this. Mainly, and I hope we can trace, it might feel a bit random, but I hope we can trace as we go through what I mean about the fingerprint of, or what the Bible, more importantly, is talking about when we look at the fingerprint of God in nature. Yeah, so because I think for a long time, I just got so wrapped up with the rescue message, which is great. I mean, without the rescue message, where would we be? Without the grace of God, without Christmas, without all of what we're coming into, where would we be? But we were saved for a bigger picture. It wasn't that we're just saved. We were saved to live life a certain way in this earth. And so I don't want to kind of make that small just to we're rescued. We're rescued for a purpose. And I think it's really important that we get that bigger picture of about this world that God made. Why did he make it? He didn't just make it to rescue us. He made it to rescue us so we could live a certain way. And so just a little bit of my story in all of this is that about 15 years ago, I guess now, I was given a book by one of our sons that started me off thinking about food and where it came from, how it all works in the system, how it got to my plate. And, you know, bear with me if it feels a bit irrelevant, because hopefully by the end we'll begin to see it's actually highly relevant. And it just, you know how you read something and it sets you on a train of thought. And that's what was happening as I was reading. I was started to question things and Google things and just, yeah, be aware of, much more aware. And no perfection here. That said that from the outset. There is no perfection. But just thinking about how far had my food come? And was I eating seasonally and all this kind of thing? And it just set me on a journey about looking at all of those kind of things. And I think that's important for us in, you know, and that will be different for all of us. You know, I'm not saying we all need to do that, but there is something about questioning things and not just accepting and having an openness and awareness and a curiosity and, you know, where did it come from? How was it treated before it got here? How far did it have to come? How many miles did it take so fossil fuels were burned? All that kind of thing, I believe, is important in the kingdom of God on his good earth. So what we're going to do, we're just going to look at, firstly, what did it mean then? I gather, especially if you're perhaps from a Baptist tradition, what did it mean then? What does it mean now? And how can we apply it? So that's what we're kind of going to do. It just gets it set in my mind when I'm preparing. So what did it mean then? And where do we see God's fingerprints as we look back? And I think that it's not that God's kind of playing some celestial hide and seek with us, and that he doesn't want to be found, and he's not letting his fingerprints be shown. I think there are plenty of clues if we're willing to look and listen and taste, and whatever other senses there are, and to ponder and to be curious. It's almost like God's hiding in plain sight for those who have eyes to see. And the great thing about God is, you know, love doesn't boast. And he doesn't boast, you know, from that great love passage. But he is there. And love has to be chosen as well, as C.S. Lewis said, one of people I love to read. And so he doesn't force us. He doesn't coerce us. He leaves the clues for us to discover, because then hopefully we're drawn by love as we begin to see just how beautiful he actually is. And Psalm 19 tells us that the heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament, the skies, proclaim his handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard, yet their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. It's quite a riddle, that, isn't it, when you read? Because it kind of in one sentence is saying that there is no speech and the voice isn't heard, and yet it's saying, yet the voice goes out to the end of the earth and their words to the end of the world. And I think God's speaking in pictures very often, you know, sunrise, sunset, the beauty of the heavens and the starry night. It's all telling in picture form the fact that there's a creator. Whenever we find something intricate, like a watch has been used or different things, we often think, well, I wonder who made that. And we need to have the same kind of mindset when we look at the night sky and the beauty around us. And just as we can discover quite a lot about a person by the things that they make or do, so it is with God. The more we look at what he's made, the more we begin to see who he is, his character. So what fingerprints can we learn about God by looking at what he's made? Well, firstly, he is good, and a good creator makes a good creation. He declared it to be good. He declared that everything was good. Light, the sky, water, earth, grasses, fruit trees, sun and stars, days and years, fish, sea monsters and birds, crawling creatures and wild animals, men and women. All of this God declared to be good. And for him to make it, he shows his goodness in it. So the earth was made good, diverse, beautiful to look at, delicious to taste. I mean, if you just think of the garden, in that picture, you know, of the garden that we're given in Genesis, just try and in your imagination think how beautiful that must have been. You know, no sin had entered the world at this point. What would the fruit and the nuts and the berries and all the things he gave to eat, what would they have tasted like? No chemicals had touched them. Just beauty. I just find it just is amazing. And it smelt good. There would have been a sweet fragrance. All our senses would have been heightened by the beauty of that creation. So God's character and his nature and his power are revealed through the things that he has made, the invisible made visible. All creation was called good, but only everything altogether, the interdependent world completed on the sixth day, was called very good. So I think that's interesting, that God created a world that was interdependent on one another. I know it's a bit of a hackneyed phrase, but, you know, the circle of life actually is what God brought about. And so We all kind of need each other, and we're part of that creation. Yes, we're different, but we're still part. And I've started to change what I say about, oh, I love to be in nature, to saying I love to be with nature, because we're nature. We've got the image of God in us, and, you know, we're humans, but we're part of that. We're part of this. Isn't it amazing that God actually... I just think you learn something about God when you made things like elephants. You know, they're great. And the more you get to know about an animal, the more fascinating it is. That, you know, that they're sentient beings. They can feel, they feel things. They remember things. It's just amazing. They cry. Elephants, you can watch videos of elephants going back to a site where the mother elephant is dead on the ground, and they gather around one by one, and tears come down their faces. And that tells us something about God to me, who he is and how he loves his creatures. Anyway, I better stop there. These clues speak of a God who loves diversity, beauty, animals, humans, work and rest, night and day, rivers and seas and sea creatures, trees and plants, names, not numbers or labels. God got Adam to name the animals, not, well, you're number one because you were the first one. They all had names. And the soil, a very important part of our existence, I'm learning more and more, from which he created the first man. And Adam, in Hebrew, actually means soil or earth. Did you know that, Adam? Yeah. So, you know, it's like the representative of the first of all creation in that story is saying we're made from the earth. Adam actually means that. And this humanity, us, has a conscience and an ability to discern right from wrong, and a capacity to understand what is just and unjust, what is equal and fair. And this is part of what it means to be made in God's image and what is spoken about in Romans 1. So we, in that sense, we don't have an excuse, because we know, we all know when things are right and when they're wrong, when they're just and when they're unjust. And it's because we've been given something of God's image in us. So we know a fingerprint of God is that God is just, God is good, God knows right from wrong, and God cares. And the whole of the Trinity can be found in creation, the fingerprints of all three. And there's a slide, I love this. It's an image. I'm not saying this is God, but this is taken from when they believe that when God visited Abraham, it was God himself in the person of the Trinity, and it's Rublev's picture of the Trinity. But the Spirit breathed life into creation, as we read in Genesis. And Colossians 1:15 is such a great verse. I'm actually going to read it. And it says, he, meaning Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things, this is the verse, all things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. So if we're looking for Jesus in creation, he's there. And it was actually created through him and for him. So one of the reasons why we care for this earth is because it's Jesus's earth. It was made for him as part of that Trinity relationship of love. The earth was made, and he's the one that sustains it moment by moment. He's sustaining us right now, and without that sustaining power, we wouldn't continue. So we find there that, you know, he's holding it all together, and that's another fingerprint of the Trinity, So God the Creator, the Spirit breathing life, and it being made for Jesus. And he's the sustainer. Christ is central to creation. It's not like, oh, that's Old Testament. It's all the way through we find Jesus. So what does it mean for us now to see the fingerprints of God in nature? Well, I guess the first one is, and this was a helpful verse for me, just a simple verse from Psalm 24, 1 to 2. And that is understanding that it was all made by God and belongs to him. The earth is the Lord's. Quite clear. This is his. Everything, the cosmos, everything is God's. So that has some ramifications for us as followers of Jesus. And everything in it, the world and those who live in it, whether people know it or not, all people belong to God. They may not be giving themselves over to him, but they are his creatures, his creation. So I think being open and having an awareness and curiosity about this world is one way today that we can see the fingerprints of God in nature. Curiosity is a great way, you know. And if you don't have it, I've found it's a prayer that God often answers. God, please make me more curious. Make me question things. Make me want to know more and to delve, because so much in Scripture is there when you delve further under the surface than just quoting a verse. There's so much more. And that's God again, hiding in plain sight, but wanting us to be people that understand more deeply than just memorizing a scripture. Not that that's wrong, that's good. And that verse goes on to say, he founded the earth on the seas and established it on the rivers. Discover the diversity of all that is made. You know, sadly, we're losing some of that biodiversity, but we still have plenty at the moment that we can look at. And just the different trees that just go out and see things with new eyes as you pray that prayer for God to make you curious. And I know I'm probably teaching my granny to suck eggs, because I think a lot of us do this, but it's just a reminder, really, to live with a constant wonder rather than a, oh, here we go, another day. Get in the car, you know, not I'm against cars, but cars can keep us sometimes from seeing what's around us. Enjoy the seasons and the food in seasons. Food in season is much more tasty than food out of season, and cheaper, usually. But just enjoy the seasons. You know, it's been great, hasn't it, to just see autumn and the leaves and stuff like that. And these are important things because they're God's fingerprints. We spiritualize everything, don't we? And think, oh, God's fingerprint is a verse, or, you know, a word from God, and they are. But God loves the world. He loves the cosmos, which means everything. Not just people. He does love people, but he loves his animals. He loves his insects. He loves his trees. That to me just speaks, it helps me love God more to know that. So realizing our own connectedness to nature is not, it's not woo-woo. It's not hippie-ish. It's part of the creation narrative to realize that we're connected. Found in Genesis. We are part of it and here to serve it. And, in Genesis 1:26, the very first command or mandate that God gave to his human creatures was this: let us make mankind in our image, according to our likeness, the Trinity. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle and over all the wild animals of the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. If I was to ask you what does... In fact, I will. What do you think when you hear that word dominion? Anybody? Just feel free to shout out. Please.
Responsible for taking care of.
Yeah, great. Anybody else?
You could interpret as dominate.
Yes, you could.
And often we do.
Yes, exactly. Rich, I think, hit it right on the nail. The word is rule, but we're to rule like God rules over us. And God rules over us with love. Never anything else. God's very essence is love. And so even when we feel like we've been disciplined or hard stuff's happening, there is a rule of love, a thread going through our lives, because that is who God is. And that's what he calls us to do over nature. And I don't think we've done a great job of it, if we're honest. I'm not just talking about us here, I'm talking about us as a people. And there is an awareness now, and it's often coming through younger people. And I thank God for that. I thank God for this generation that has recognised that we need to care. Because I think my generation, certainly in the Christian tradition I was brought up in, it was great in many ways. But it was like, this world is not my home, I'm just passing through. That kind of, you know, it doesn't really matter. And it does, you know, it matters a lot because he made it. It's made for Jesus. He loves it. So, for us to show the fingerprint of God and to rule the same way over God loves us, rules over us, is to not be domineering, not exploiting just by using it for our own good, but caring, tending, and finding out about things to do with the land. I mean, I'm not expecting we're all going to do this to the same level, you know, and we'll all have different areas of interest. How animals are treated before they get to our plate is a good one, without going into detail. But, you know, if you Google that a bit, then it's quite an eye-opener. And this is how we partly display the fingerprint of God to those around us. By living a life that when people look at us, they think, I wonder why he did that, or I wonder why he's not doing that. I wonder why he collects up all the rubbish and goes around the site, or goes around Bridgemere collecting up rubbish. They're the kind of questions that people are interested in finding out more. I wonder why he goes to the beach clean, or she goes to the beach clean once a month. I wonder why he's not eating that. You know, our lives can cause people to question in a good way, hopefully. So that's partly how God calls us to display his fingerprint, because we're made in his likeness. And it's a justice issue as well. The climate crisis. I know you probably might be fed up of hearing about it because it's on at the moment, the COP28, but it's affecting the poor more than most other people. And it always has. And yet it's the poor that aren't consuming and causing the fossil fuel crisis that is bringing about this just real... I don't know. It's a tragedy, you know, because it means loss of livelihood, loss of food, animals dying. There's just so much that happens that is not God's will. It wasn't what God intended, but that's why we're here, to bring his kingdom on earth as in heaven. So it is a justice issue. So we can be ones that are standing up and consuming less, maybe. Also in creation, which is the fingerprint of God here, I think, is that we see that God rested on the seventh day. And, you know, if God needed to rest, then we do too, don't we? And I think we can show something of that fingerprint of God by being people that just stop as the land needs to stop at times, so do we. We just stop the consumption, if that's what it is, or stop the working. Just allow ourselves to be still, basically. I read this quote the other day, which was put together by some kind of poll of people that know what they're talking about. But it said, having one lazy day, you know what I mean by that, just, you know, stopping, can help reduce stress, high blood pressure, and improve mental health. But, you know, and I'm speaking to myself here, you know, in all of this, but how easy it is to make that one day the same as all the other days, isn't it? To just keep going, keep going. But that's the fingerprint of God, the seventh day resting. It's almost like God's idea of Sabbath could be good for us. And that's what he said. So how can we then practically display his fingerprints in a crisis of climate and otherwise? We're just in crisis, aren't we? And as I mentioned earlier, for those that can, let's get outside more when possible, or look out the window, or do whatever it is, because it's all there for us to enjoy. It's God's cathedral, the open air. It's just all there in beauty. And, you know, if we get in it, it will start to, I believe, fill us with this wonder and childlikeness in that respect. Because we can't love what we don't know. So it's by being in it. And I've certainly found that. I'm a city girl from, you know, a big city. And it's only in recent years that I've begun to really see and explore, you know, through being down at the garden. And, yeah, just to be aware of the seasons more and the beauty and the fingerprints of God, basically. But we can't love what we don't know, so it is important. Have a go at growing something, even if it's on a windowsill, or join us at the allotment if you want. Just do stuff that, you know, brings nature to the forefront, God's fingerprint. And we need all of us to do this. We need filmmakers, we need poets, we need activists, we need musicians. We need the whole gamut of gifting to stand against this crisis. A reimagining of what the earth could look like and did look like. And reflecting and meditating on passages of scripture that speak of our connectedness to this earth and God's love for it, as shown in Genesis. John 3:16, that well-quoted verse, actually, when it says, for God so loved the world, in the Greek, that word is the cosmos. And cosmos includes everything. It does include people, and he does love people. And that's an important verse to use in that respect. But it's also important for us, I think, to remember that he's talking about creation. He loves it all. So we can join organisations or follow organisations such as Tear Fund and others, stand up for climate change and the injustice that it brings, particularly, as I said, to the poor. And be aware of that things are not always as they seem. I think I showed this slide before. In case you can't read it, things are not always what they seem. The deer isn't crossing the road. The road is crossing the forest. And there's so much of that that goes on in forests and tree cutting for more agriculture, but we're actually destroying people's habitats, not just people's habitats, but wildlife habitats. So, you know, to be aware that when we see things, that they're not always as they seem, and that is a good reminder, I think. Do what we can within our own households. You know, I know you know this and you're doing it already, but, you know, recycle, reuse, reduce, and repair. It's interesting, isn't it, that I guess if I asked quite a few in the room if you enjoyed watching the repair shop, hands up, probably be quite a few. There's something in us that knows that we need to keep things going as much as we can and not let it just be thrown away. So that we, by that, we're not contributing so much to the throwaway culture that we find. And I think, I hope in it all that we're, and as I say, I'm just kind of really not far on this journey, I guess, to use that word, of expanding our understanding of just how big the gospel is. It's not a say a prayer and your ticket to heaven. It's understanding this big story of what God's made and being rescued so that we can go on to keep this world as much as possible. Yes, it will be renewed, but we have a part in that. And then this is not peripheral add-ons to the good news. It's at the heart of who God is. And it's part of the big picture of how God wanted his world to work and how we can be praying for his kingdom to come on earth as in heaven. It's, you know, as we pray that prayer, we often rightly think we want the kingdom to grow. We want people to come to know Jesus. And we do. But we want his kingdom to come in Bridgemere, in the land being better tilled, maybe things growing better, more food to give away to people, because that's the crisis that we're facing now as well. So I guess that's it really, but just I've got a book that I found really helpful. In fact, we did a book club on this a few years ago, and I go back to this quite a lot. I've got some if anybody is interested, but Planetwise by Dave Bookless, who's a vicar in London, but he's also heads up an organisation called Arusha, the Rock, which is a Christian ecological organisation that are working around the world. And that's another place. If you Google it, you'll find out what they're doing. But yeah, just to kind of become aware that, you know, stuff is happening. There's encouragement. I don't want to leave on a down note. There is stuff going on that is really encouraging. And what I get so excited about is the fact that it's young people doing it. Because there is also eco-anxiety. And I guess, you know, some of you younger ones might be aware of that term, which I think we're going to hear more of. But also, it's the young people that are doing something. And I think we have things to learn from them. And it gives me hope to know that there is a generation at COP28 right now that are standing up on the stage, and they may not know that they're caring for God's earth. Some of them do, but they are. You know, they're doing their job. And so just like to thank you for listening, and also just finish by saying a prayer for us, if that's okay. Father God, we thank you that you created a beautiful place for us to live, a beautiful habitat. And Lord, we're aware of how through sin, through selfishness, through many ways, this earth is not as it should be. But we thank you that that's not the end, that there is hope. And that you are allowing us to, in our own kind of small way, but together with lots of others, can be a big way to bring back some of that beauty and to enjoy it and to be in it. And I pray, Father, that you'll remind us of more and more, even this week, of the bigger picture of your world, of what you intended it to be like, and how you wanted to walk with man in the garden and commune and have relationship, because that's a huge fingerprint of who you are. You're a God in relationship with your world, all of it. And I just pray that you would yeah, just help us to think on these things and find ways to respond and to be doers of your word in this respect. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much.